Okay, so we were discussing a very interesting topic this past week about whether or not a rav could give psak halacha, din Torah, a hora. So let's go mikatzah katzah from one extreme to the other extreme. We know in psak halacha there are many different levels, there are many different arenas. So just to give a little bit of a structure of what types of halachas there are, so there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Hey Amud Aleph which talks about the concept of smicha. Smicha Midaraisa is a concept where Moshe Benu was Somech Yadav on Yeshua, and he passed on Smicha to Yeshua. Yeshua passed on Smicha to Zakenim. It's a concept of real Smicha, not what we call Smicha getting being a rabbi nowadays, but a real Smicha of somehow infusing Kedusha, infusing responsibility to the next generation, the next door of Rabbanim. Nowadays we don't have a concept of Smicha, but we do have, it's called Netilas Rishus, that a rabbi is given permission, he's given a certificate, he passes a test. An older rabbi, an experienced rabbi who has already what's called Netilas Rishus, he was given a license to Paskin, he could pass it on to the next generation if that individual, that rabbi, is qualified. So in discussing this concept of what we call smicha nowadays, which is really just Netilas Rishus, a license to Paskin, the Gemara says people could have a smicha in different areas. So what are the three areas that the Gemara talks about? So you could have a smicha Netilas Rishus in Yora Yora. Yora Yora means to give a hora. That's what we call in the Shulchan Aruch Yordaya, which is Isser V'Heter. That you know Isser V'Heter, which are concepts like Bas V'Chalav. Is it Mutter or is it Aser? Anything in the world of Isser V'Heter, that's called Yor Yor. That's a category of what's in the Shulchan Aruch called Yordaya. There's another category, the Gemara says, Yadin Yadin. Yadin is about Din Torah, it's Choshe Mishpat, which is a machlokis between neighbors, a machlokis about prices of items, about gneva and gazela. It's not about in the Isser and Heter, it's about mamonis, about financial claims. So who owes who what? Not that it's an Isser per se. This week's Parsha Mishpatim, all about nezikin, damages. My shur damaged your shur. I damaged your shur. I damaged your property. That's the world of yodin yodin. It's a category you need a bezin. You need three people. Your yora, your dea. You don't need a bezin to paskin whether the milk that falls into the chum pot is mutter or not. That's a rabbi. But when it comes to yadin yadin, me and you are fighting, you need three people, three dayanim, that's yadin yadin. And then there's another category, Gemara says, is yatir yatir, which is in terms of yatir b'choras. Are you able to permit b'choras or not? Just because I might know psak halacha basa b'chalav doesn't mean I have the authority to paskin on a b'chor. In fact, the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim, it was Rav. Rav spent 18 months studying animals on a farm to understand what was a Bechor, what wasn't a Bechor. And it requires a different type of studying experience than how to know whether meat and milk mixed together. So these are three categories that the Gemara itself lays out just to have in our mind. Again, there's Yati Yatir. There's Yor Yor first. Yadin Yadin, and then there's Yati Yatir. These are the three concepts that the Gemara lays out there.
What is the third one?
Yati Yatir, the ability to be Matir or Bechor. What we discussed in the Gemara Beitza, you have an animal that's a Bechor, which is a Kadosh, it's a Karban. Only if there's a Mum that registers as a Mum, can I be Matir. Oh, that's a Mum. Oh, that's not a Mum. I don't know what a Mum is. I could learn the Gemaras and Bechoras, which talk about all the details of a Bechor, but I'm not experienced. So that's a separate category of a license. You could have a license in different areas. Rav Asher Weiss, we had a conference with him last week, and he said openly, so he's, you know, he said in, you know, in a humble way, he said about himself, I'm considered an accomplished rabbi. He has gotten accomplished, he accomplished a lot. But he says he doesn't paskin shilas in Hilchos Stam, by Sefer Torah, and the mezuzah, and tefillin. He doesn't have any shemesh, he doesn't have any experience. So even within halachas, you could be an expert in Shabbos, but may not be an expert in tefillin, may not be an expert in whatever else it is. So there are different categories of psak halacha, and some are experienced in bekim and others, and while not every single aspect of halacha. So that having that in mind, let's go through different categories of psak din, of dinei Torah, when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, whether or not you're allowed to make decisions of din Torah, the psak halacha on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So what's the most extreme case? We'll get back to the Gemara soon, don't worry. So the most extreme case, if you were making a list of the hierarchies of the most extreme form of din Torah we have, it would be onshin, punishments, Mises Bezdin. There's a Bezdin of Chav Gimel, Bezdin of 23. So are you allowed to give punishment on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Based on what? You say no. Why not?
Isn't there a
pasuk? Which pasuk, do you know? Not to really put you on the spot, but you suggested it. You are correct. There's a Rambam has a chiddush. The Rambam does say that there's a pasuk. Other Rishonim say not. Others say no. Just like you can't do any other din Torah, we'll get to why you can't do a bezdin in general. The Rambam says, as Ariel just told us, you know why there's no punishment on Shabbos? Ein onshin b'Shabbos, af al pi she'ones mitzvah say, ein odocha Shabbos. The din is if this person was machal Shabbos, and we have Edim, we have Asra, to kill that person who was machal Shabbos, well, a person who was ovid of Avodah Zarah, there's a mitzvah say to do that. It's biart harami karbecha, to remove all evil from within Klal Yisrael. Even though that's the case, the Rambam paskins, you can't do that on Shabbos. Why not? So he says, the pasuk, shenemar, lo sivaru eish b'chol moshvo seichem, that you cannot burn someone. The understanding is you can't inflict sreifa. If, let's say, a bas kohen is mizane, so she would get sreifa, you don't burn her on Shabbos. And the din is, v'hu adin l'shar onshin, says the Rambam, any onesh as well. You can't give punishments on Shabbos. So what would you say about Yantav? Are you allowed to give a punishment to someone on Yantav?
Halacha should be the same.
Halacha should be the same, why?
Because
it's Ochel Nefesh. But we know, if it's Ochel Nefesh, but we said just because we have the concept of Mitoch, remember? Mitoch is, Mitoch Shehut Shel Tzorech, Huchinami Shalol Letzorech. So I could have a fire going to cook food, but I could also use a fire for non-food purposes. So for example, I want to heat up water for me to shower. So remember we said, well, shower is not so needed. We discussed that a few weeks ago. But let's say I want to warm up water to wash my hands. The din was, my hand, my face, my legs, that's a little bit of a tzorach. I'm allowed to heat up water for my hands. My body is, that's debatable, we said. So, now there's a mitzvah say to burn a person who is chai misa. So mitoch shehutcha letzorach is permitted for ochel nefesh, huchinami shalol letzorach. So maybe you should be able to do sreifa. No, but we said there's a mitzvah say, there's a kim, you're saving the rest of Am Yisrael by getting rid of this ra, this evil person who's mechal Shabbos, who's mezaneh. So I'll tell you what this depends on. There's a fascinating discussion. Why is it usher to burn someone on Shabbos to inflict misa? What's the reason on Shabbos? Now, it's allowed during the week. If you have proper edim, if you have proper asra, there's a mitzvah say to do this. So why can't you do this on Shabbos?
It's not a Shabbos.
It's a little more than that. It's not just a zilzal Shabbos. But there are two basic reasons. One is because there's a malach involved. You're burning someone. Misa, you're shechting someone. So there's some malach involved. So let me ask you a question. Yeah?
If
there's no reason for it, but if there's a mitzvah say, so that's a yantif, I'm saying. Now I'm talking about the yantif. So now that yantif, so then if you burn... Yeah, but there's no purpose for that. But here, there's a mitzvah said, there's a tzorech here. So to burn someone, so there's a certain tzorech that's there, so maybe you could shech the yantif, you could shech the animal yantif.
It doesn't have to be done on Shabbos or yantif. Like anything that you could have done before.
No, we don't push off a din. When it comes to din Torah, if someone deserves death penalty, we don't put them in death row. Death row doesn't exist in Yishkai.
You can't make on Shabbos or yantif anyways.
Din Torah, we'll get to din Torah in a second. But let's say the Edom Asra are there. So you have everything in place. Or let's say you finish at Erev Shabbos and there wasn't enough time. Erev Shabbos, so now you have the opportunity to burn the person. So on Yantif, now Shabbos doesn't work because the Lo Svar Eish B'chol Moshe Sechem. But Yantif, Sreifa is, again, Sreifa is allowed on Yantif. Havar is allowed on Yantif. So would that be allowed?
Well, even if there's a Milah, if Friday is the day, you can't do the Milah on Shabbos, you push it off to Latin.
That's a different din. Shabbos is a Milah is Dafka B'Yom HaShemini. That's a different, that's not, there's no dim b'yom ha-shmini when it comes to burning someone. So the truth is it comes down to why, what's a lo sevar eish b'chol moshe reisechem? What's that concern? Why is that not allowed on Shabbos first? Is it because there's a malach involved? Or is it for a different reason? If you look at the minchas chinuch in explaining this din, the Rambam actually brings this as one of the mitzvahs aseh, as the taryag mitzvah, as one of the mitzvahs lo saseh. He counts it as part of the taryag mitzvahs that you can't inflict punishment on Shabbos. So the Minchas Chinuch says, the Sefer Chinuch says, Mishar Shem Mitzvah. The reason is, the root of the mitzvah is, Shiratzak Shem Yisbarach Lechabit Hayom Hazeh, Shiyimtsu Bo Menucha Hakol Gamachotim Vechayavim. Kind of like what David was saying before, that he wants everyone to have Menucha. Even the people sinning. He wants him to have menucha on Shabbos and Yantif. He says, Mashal lemelech gadol, a great king, shekar b'nei medina, yomecha lesud. He invited all the people from his country to his house, to the palace for a meal. Sheinam moneach ha-pesach mikol adam. He doesn't close the door. Everyone's invited into his palace when the invitation's there. He doesn't have a guest list. He can't have a guest list. Everyone's welcome inside. V'acha yomasuda. Then the next day, Yasa Mishra, then he does the Bezdin. So the guy he had over at his house the other day, he's now killing the guy. But still, Sekeina davar zeh she'ashem mizbarach, tzivanu l'kadesh, u'l'chaber yom ha-shabbos l'tavaso, u'l'zuchuseinu. He doesn't want there to be any fighting, any punishment, just everyone have a nice time. And then when the Shabbos is over, so then he can shech the guy. It's actually brought down, I thought it was a minchas chinuch, but I didn't have a chance to look into this again.
Shechting or burning is the same?
Shechting or burning, yeah. That's a sefer chinuch. I believe it's a minchas chinuch. If not the minchas chinuch, someone else writes that I'm not encouraging anyone ever to chas v'shalom to hit their children. But let's say the Gemara does talk about makos that sometimes for discipline you need to hit the children. So assuming that there's an appropriate place and time for that. So the din is on Shabbos, you can't discipline your children with hitting them because that goes against the din of menucha Shabbos. Everyone, even the child who's misbehaving, deserves menucha. So, in other words, the chakira for understanding lo sivar eish b'chol moshrei seichem isn't an in it of you can't give onesh or you can't violate a malacha. What's an afkamina? Let's say you have an onesh that's not a malacha, though. So, an example is, let's say you have a situation which is called kofin al mitzvahs aseh. If I have to do mitzvahs aseh, I refuse to sit in the sukkah. I refuse to shake lulav. I refuse to give the tzedakah that I owe. Bezdin could force me to pay the money. That's called an onesh. They force me. But it's not malacha. They just do everything. They don't hurt me. They may hurt me, but they don't. Necessarily are violating malacha and forcing me to pay money. They take me. They go into my wallet. They go into my bank account, and they force me to take out the money. Would that be something that's allowed on Shabbos? If it's about you can't do onshin on Shabbos, so then you can't kofin on mitzvahs aseh. But if it's only things that relate to malachas like burning lo sivar eish b'chol moshrei seichem, well, there's no. Burning. There's no malacha involved in forcing someone to do a mitzvah aseh.
Then, is there that kind of he's giving a svar?
He's giving a svar, exactly.
Can we apply svaros in order?
Sure, the Sefer Chinuch does it a lot. And you could, if it helps you with nafkaminas, you could use a svar, for sure. Yeah. So there are some interesting nafkaminas in this concept. Are you allowed to put someone in gullus on Shabbos? A guy killed, he murdered Beshogeg. The punishment for Rotzeach Beshogeg would be sent to Gullus, go to the Ari Miklat. Can you apply that on Shabbos or not? So it depends. If Lo Svar Eich Bechol Moshrei Seichem prohibits all types of onshin, so then Gullus would be prohibited. But if Lo Svar Eich Bechol Moshrei Seichem, it just answers that which has a malacha attached to it, then Gullus would be permitted to be employed on Shabbos. So there are many, many different cases here. One of the things that Yiddishkeit doesn't really have is incarceration. We don't have a machnis and lakipa. We don't put someone in jail. It doesn't exist. The guy gets a punishment, owes money, he gets killed, doesn't get killed, but we don't. Gullus is the closest we have to a concept of jail. But we don't really have. But there are some instances where we would apply incarceration. So can you do that on Shabbos? It's an onesh, but it's not a malacha. So these are many different afkaminas. It's about being an onesh or a malacha. So now, if we carry this over to Yontif, are you allowed to kill someone on Yontif or not? Can you apply a Mises Bezdin? So they have these very nice Minchas Chinuch new. It used to be Minchas Chinuch were like three volumes. Well, it used to be my father has two volumes. And our generation has three volumes. Now, they have five volumes of this, which they haven't completed the set. They're going to probably have 10 volumes by the time this is over. So they have very nice footnotes on the bottom of the Minchas Chinuch. And here, I didn't have a chance to look up the Mar Makomos, but he does have a discussion here whether or not this would apply to Yantiv as well. Whether Lo Sivar Eish B'chol Moshrei Seichem would apply to Yantiv. So he writes here, again, he's quoting a Chassam Sofer, so I don't have the Mar Makomos to look everything up. But he says it seems to depend on this very question. If the reason why you can inflict punishment on Shabbos is because Lo Sivar Eish B'chol Moshrei Seichem is a malach of Havara, well then on Yantiv you're allowed to do Havara on Yantiv. And you would be able to kill someone in Yantiv. But if it's because you can't give an onesh, because you want menucha on Shabbos, so in a similar svar would apply to Yantiv, there's a certain level of menucha on Yantiv, and you shouldn't give a punishment on Yantiv either. So this is the most extreme about inflicting punishment on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Let's take it down a notch. I think Ari mentioned before about a regular Din Torah. So you and I are having a little fight here. I'm not sure I mentioned this before, but a great these past few days I've been very focused. Even the drush of the Shabbos is going to be very much about Dinei Torah and Bez Initiative, people being more cognizant of Dinei Mamonos around, people asking questions in the world of business. So a great question I had last week, it was really neat, that a person won a raffle. I shared this with you guys last week. A guy won a raffle at a shul, a local shul. He won a raffle. He doesn't daven there regularly, but he won a raffle to have a parking spot, like a set parking spot, like it's a rabbi and like the raffle winner. That's how it works. Rabbi, assistant rabbi, and raffle winner. So he won this, but he doesn't daven there that often. So a guy comes up to him and says, listen, I'll pay you $1,000 for that parking spot. So the guy's like, okay, I'll take that deal. Sure, you know, he doesn't use a spot that often, $1,000 in his pocket, better than a parking spot. He'll walk the couple blocks wherever he gets. Later that day, he finds out that there was a going rate for the past few years. An individual bought this ticket, this seat for $2,000.
This
parking spot for $2,000. Is that so? Now, when the guy offered him $1,000, was he ripping him off? You know, there's a concept of onah. That onah means it's a set market value. It's $5 for I don't know the safer, but the guy's gonna I'll offer you for $2, or I'll pay $10. You're doubling the price. Onah is whenever something's a sixth off the market value. So does that consider a market value? The guy past 4 years paid $2,000 for it. This guy tried undercutting him to get $1,000. Is that onah? So it became a whole discussion. I probably spent the Sunday morning on this. But let's say these two individuals, the one who won the raffle and the individual who offered $1,000 to him, he wants to take him to Beis Din, let's say. He's not going to, but he wants to take him to Beis Din. Can he take him to Beis Din on Shabbos? He finds it on Shabbos. Let's have three people meet. You don't need, people think you have to go to Beis Din to actually go to Beis Din. You don't have to. Rav Shechter always says that you're much better off going to find three Talmidei Chacham in the back of the Beis Medrash who know how to learn, and they could be your Beis Din. Once you start going to a real Beis Din, unfortunately, there's a lot of corruption in them, and it gets involved in money and bribery. It's awful. But better to go to a nice place, go to Lakewood, go to Yeshiva with a reputable Talmidei Chachamim, find three rabbis, have them sit down. You both agree that you're going to accept whatever the psak is, go to them. So you go to the shul, each individual, the guy who won the raffle, the guy who offered $1,000, find three rabbis on Shabbos. Can they meet on Shabbos and give a psak din? So this is Mefurish Mishnah in the end of our Masechta. The Mishnah Daf Lamed Vav and Beis gives a list of things that may not be done on Shabbos or on Yontif. And for example, you can't climb a tree on Yontif because you might break a branch. You can't ride an animal on Yontif because you might break a branch to use it to whack the animal. You can't go swimming on Shabbos because you might build a raft. This is like the, I've mentioned this before, the high school kids love this Mishnah. Because, I'm not going to build a raft. So, no, I don't know how to build a raft. So, let me go swimming on Shabbos. Okay, fine. You can't clap. You can't dance on Shabbos. We discussed this in the past as well. One of the things listed here also that you can't do is you can't have a Din Torah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. A regular Din Torah. You and I are fighting about money. And two neighbors are fighting about this parking spot. You can't go do a Din Torah on Yom Tov because of a Shavus. What's the Shavus? What's the Gezerah? So, the Gemara explains in Laman Zayin and Aleph, because Shema Yichtov, you might write something down. What are you writing down? Rashi says, the Psak Din Adinim. They said, okay, the three rabbis are sitting down. We have to write what the verdict is. Okay, let's write down on Shabbos because of that Gezerah. Therefore, they answered any Din Torah. So we spoke about giving Mises Beis Din. We spoke about now Din Torah. Regular three people sitting for Dinei Mamonos. Now let's move over to our Mishnah we were discussing on Daf, where is it, Chaf Vav? That Chafei Chavav about being Matir Bechoros now. So we discussed Yadin Yadin. That was what the first two categories were. Yadin Yadin was Dine Torah. Now we're talking Yatir Yatir. Is Yatir Yatir allowed on Shabbos?
Was this writing down the reason or a reason?
The reason, it says. The reason. So the Gemara says that we Paskin and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin this way, you are not allowed to be Matir a Bechor on Yantiv. Why not? So there are four reasons brought down in the Rishonim. Two of them are mentioned by Rashi. Rashi says the reason why you can't be Matir, Bechor, and Yontif. Number one is it looks like Tikkun Mana. It looks like you're fixing something. That which was Aser, I'm making it now usable. The Bechor, when the Bechor is born, it's born to Kadosh. And I can't shecht in my backyard. I need to bring it, the Kohen, to eat it in the Beis HaMikdash. But if it gets a Bechor, or rather Mum, I could shecht it here, right now. It's Matir the Bechor to me. It's Tikkun Mon, it's fixing something. It's like putting an item that's into the mikvah. I have a tevila. I have a new pot. I can't use it. It's usher. I put it into the mikvah, and now it's usable. That's what's called tikkun mana. I can't do any type of fixing on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that's the first reason why Rashi says that you can't do you can't be matir b'chor on Yom Tov. And then there's a girsa. I'm not sure if you guys know the girsa. Some say it should say, oh, the second reason is the havle kedon din. It's like judging a din Torah, which we have a gezeira, we just mentioned before, lest you come write it down. Now, even though no one's really writing down the halachas of matir b'chor, maybe a person will, it's considered judging a case. Whenever there's judging going on, a person's analyzing a situation of matir yatir neder, so that's called a din Torah. So it's either because you're fixing something, you're being matir and iser of b'chor, or it's considered a din Torah that you're judging this particular b'chor. Okay. The two other reasons that are mentioned why you can't be matir b'chor on Yom Tov is with the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says because it's muksa. Something that's muksa before Yom Tov begins remains muksa the entire Yom Tov. And then the Ravid says because maybe you're not going to look at it quick enough. I mean, you're not going to look at it carefully enough. I want to have this animal. I'm salivating over it. I'm really hungry. It's a juicy goat or whatever it is. A juicy cow, a calf. So you want to shecht it quickly. You check it. Oh, that's a bechor. And you shecht it too quickly. And you made a mistake. It wasn't really bechor. Because of Simchas Yantif, the adrenaline rush, you're not going to look at it properly to see the mum. Exactly. So we see that there are four reasons why you can't be matir bechor. Either because of tikkun mana, or because it's like a din Torah, or because it's muksa, or because you're not going to watch it, look at it carefully enough, because the Simchas Yom Tov is really driving. Fine, so either way, it's usher. So we have, you can't do a Mises Bezdin L'chor on Yom Tov, you can't have a regular Bezdin on Yom Tov, and you can't be Matir B'choris. But what about Isser V'heter, that category? Is there, you're allowed to, someone comes to me on Shabbos and says, listen, my milk fell into the cholent pot, am I allowed to eat it? Is that allowed on Yom Tov? So the Taz says, based on this halacha, that a rabbi...
Is your judgment allowed?
The Rav says, based on this discussion, a Rav is not allowed to be matir b'chor. That's a clear halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The Taz says, is this to suggest now you can never give a psak din on Yom Tov then? Every psak din's aser? Because he wasn't eating the cholent pot. He wasn't eating the cholent. Now I said, oh, you can eat it. I was just matir something that was aser to him. I can't be matir anything. I had earlier this year, a guy comes to my house, Rosh Hashanah meal. I sit down to eat. I get a knock on the door. It's never good when you knock on the door on a Friday night or a night. He said, I just found out, we learned this together actually, that you're not allowed to cook Yom Tov for a non-Jew. And he has a housekeeper that cooked food for her. Is he allowed to eat the food now? Is the food usher? So I can't paskin, it's Yom Tov. Don't come to me. I can't matir b'choros. I can't kill someone on Yom Tov. I know Mises Bezdin. I can't give you a psak halacha. Tough luck. So is that really true?
No.
The Taz says, is that really true? You can't asr every single hurrah? So the Taz says, the difference is, what was the status quo? Bechor, the chazaka of the Bechor was, it was asr. It was born as a Bechor, with Kedusha, it's asr. For me to change that status quo would be tikkun mana. That's not allowed. But the cholent pot was mutter, right? It had meat in it. It was meat. And then the milk dropped in. That milk didn't necessarily aser it. It wasn't sure. It was a suffix, what the status was. So I just continued by saying, well, if there was 60 times meat to the drop of milk, then it's mutter. Nothing has changed. I didn't change the status quo. He wasn't sure. I said the status quo remains mutter, and therefore there is no matter. But he says, the Taz pulls back and says, if it was a case where, let's say, it was aser.
Yeah.
Let's say he comes to me and says, milk fell in, and we measured it out, and there's too much milk fell in, and the cholent pot is aser. There's not 60 amount of cholent to the milk. You don't have the bitul b'shishim. It's aser. He comes back, he comes, knocks on my house again, he says, you never know what happened, never guess. My son was playing, and he dropped in more meat into the cholent pot. So now there's more cholent than there is milk. There the Taz says, since the psak was, it was aser, you can't now be matirt, because now you're changing the status quo. To go from usr to mutter, that would be usr. That won't be allowed on Yontif. That's what he writes. So it depends on the status quo. So there's certain psak halach I can't change. If it was aser, I can't be matir. But if it was mutter, and there's just a suffix, the rabbi is allowed to be matir. That's not being matir. That's just being megala, the reality that it still is mutter. That's the chiddush of the Taz. So there's certain psak halachas that you can't give, actually, on Yontif.
Are you allowed to say, save it for tomorrow? I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Maybe. Let's just decide. But so in the Mishnah Berurah now, I believe the Mishnah Berurah argues on this point, though. I think so. I think the way the Mishnah Berurah presents this Taz is slightly different. The Mishnah Berurah says, Lo Dami L'Shah Hara. He says, when you give a Psak Halacha, it's not the same as a regular Hara of Matir Bechor or of a Din Torah or Mises Bezdin. He writes, She'ein Isser V'Heter Toloi B'Horos Piyamora Elabiyadiyas Hadavar. So let me raise the following Chakira. When a rabbi gives a Psak, is he creating something new? Or is he just telling you what the reality is? So just to give a different model, just to outside this topic, but just to see a different chakir in a different place. I have tevel. What's tevel? I have my fruit in my field, and now it's aser for bini. It's tevel. Until I give chuma to the kohen, I give maaser to the levi. Now, when I separate chuma, when I separate maaser, there's a chakir that exists in the Rishonim. Am I creating chuma? I say, okay, this is for the kohen. Am I creating maaser, this is for the levi? Or am I simply being megala that there's chuma here? I didn't create chuma. The chuma exists in my tevel. The chuma exists in my grape. I'm just being megala where that chuma is. This is a chuma. I didn't create the chuma. So that's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Here, when I give you psak halacha that the milk falls in the meat, am I creating that psak? Or am I just telling you this is a halacha? I'm just telling you what exists. So just to bring it out a little further. The Dirshu quotes on the side very interestingly from Rav Nissen Karelitz. Let's say a Sephardi comes to get a psak from me. Do I give my psak as an Ashkenazi or do I give him his psak? Of course I give him his psak. Dr. Smai comes and asks for psak. He wants to know about Bishul Akum. So I said, listen, you're Sephardi. I could trust on the, you know, the fire on the stove. You're a Sephardi. You have to put the food on yourself. Okay, we've discussed the term for that. But I can't give him my psak. He's a Sephardi. Because it's not that I'm creating something. I'm just showing him a marmakam. Oh, the halacha for you, the Shulchan Aruch, look there. I'm just the marmak. I'm the Barilan search engine, if you will. Not creating anything new here. Or no, are you creating something new? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the rabbi's not creating anything new. By Matir Bechoros, he's creating something new. We have by a Neged Saras, let's say. A Chassan comes to Cohen and says, listen, I found this white spot here. Is this a Neged Saras? The Cohen stays silent. He might know it's a Neged Saras. The Metzias says it might be Neged Saras. But he stays silent, the Gemara says, because there's certain days you look, and certain days you look the other way. He says, come back to me in a week. Because the creation of a Neged Saras depends on the Cohen articulating that's a Neged Saras. Or let's say it's during Yontif, and the guy says, I've got a white blotch on me. Is this Neged Saras? Come back to me after you. When you come back to me, the Metzias says you have a Neged Saras. Because there's certain dinim that depend on the rabbi or the Kohen to create that reality. So when it comes to Neged Saras, the Kohen creates it. When it comes to Yatir Bechoros, the rabbi creates that heter. When it comes to Psak Halach of Isra Heter, the rabbi is not creating anything. He's just showing you, oh, based on what the Shach writes here, that's the halacha. I'm just pointing you out in a different direction. One other application of this type of concept. Rav Soloveitchik, I'm not going to go through all the different sources for this, but Rav Soloveitchik, when he was very fond of Masechet Sanhedrin, and he said, when it comes to their Bezdin of Chav Gimel, Bezdin of 23, which is a capital punishment, that's a Bezdin which oversees capital punishment, versus a Bezdin of 3, which is Dinim Amnis, fights between people. So the difference between those two Bati Dinim are very fundamentally different. He says, a Bezdin of Chav Gimel, they were judging the individual, the guy who's been accused of Mechal Shabbos, of Avodah Zarah, they're judging him. When it comes to Bezdin of 3 people, the two of you present the case to 3 rabbis, we're not judging you. You tell us the case, we say, okay, just kind of give us information, you guys stay in the back, and we're having a little chabura about what would the halacha be in this particular, we're learning a sugya together. When we come out with a sugya, the psak did, we say, okay, now we have this. Oh, this applies to you. But we're not judging them. We're learning a sugya in Torah. But Bezdin of Chav Gimel, we're judging the actual individual. So there's a different focus. So they're creating something as opposed to being megala what the reality was. So here as well, when it comes to Isser V'Heter, then the halacha is, of course you could give a psak din on Yantif. If you're not creating a new psak halacha, it's simply being megala and showing you mar makom what the halacha might be. Are there any restrictions of giving a psak halacha on Shabbos or Yantif in terms of Isser V'Heter? So again, the Taz felt that there was. If there's a cheskas iser, he felt you can't be matir that yantif. I didn't confirm this, but I'm pretty confident the Mishabura argues and says that there's no restriction whether it was us or mutter. The psak din is allowed on yantif about iser v'heter. There is one restriction. Anyone remember the one restriction we have about giving a psak halacha on Shabbos or yantif? It's a good test for your memory. We did this many, many months ago. I don't remember how long ago we did this. If you turn back, those that are inside, turn back to the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Dalet, Amud Aleph, all the way on the bottom. The Gemara was talking about when a Beitz is nolde b'yantif, whether that's mutter, it's yantif, whether it's mutter today, mutter the next day, two yantif, shnei yantif, shogalios, whether shnei kedushos, kedush achas. So the Gemara there on the bottom of Dalet, Amud Aleph, has a Maisa that, exactly, very good, he drank, right. So the Gemara says, Ushbuschinu dera papa, a certain person came to your papa. And Havale Hanukh Beitzim Shabbos Yomtif. He had Beitzim that were late on Shabbos. He wanted to know if he could use them the next day on Yomtif. It was a Shabbos Yomtif. Yomtif was Matzah Shabbos into Sunday. So they were late on Shabbos. Could he use them on Yomtif? He said, Mahu Lamichlane Lamachar. So can I eat them tomorrow? It was Shabbos. Can I eat these tomorrow on Yomtif? Amrle says, Zil Ha'ina, go now. Fitol Lamachar, come tomorrow. Why? He wouldn't paskin because of shichras. He was drunk. And Rashi says here, because kolomar mishum shichras, the Rav ore haya more b'drashas shalom. Rav would give drashas, and he would give psak halachas. His drashas weren't agata, they were psak halachas. And the Gemara Krisus tells us, the shikr also lahoros. One who's drunk is not allowed to give psak halacha. The Chassivit says, "Yain v'sheicha al teish." Don't drink wine and beer. The Gemara says that was the Nadav Aviu when they went into the Kodesh Kedoshim were killed. One of the reasons they were killed is because they were drunk when they went to Kodesh Kedoshim. The Pasuk made an edict that you can't be drunk in the base of Mikdash, nor can you be drunk when you give a hora. So not only a hora in terms of a bezdin, but even a psak halacha, the Isser V'Heter would be also as well. And therefore, he says, "I'm drunk." So then you're not allowed to. That would be one restriction. That would be one limitation of not giving a psak halacha on yantif.
It's mashma that if you're not drunk, you're allowed to.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a raya, clearly a raya, that you're allowed to. There's no restrictions of, you know, the Taz says depends who is asr, depends who is mutter. It seems to me that this might be a raya for the Mishabura when it comes to a regular psak halacha, not a bezin, a psak halacha that a rabbi has asked the question, then as long as you're not drunk, you'd be allowed to. Okay, so we'll stop here. Yeah, but I'm not even sure, even if it's not Tzorech Yontif, I still would wonder whether or not there'd be a restriction.